Order. Order.
Parliament resumed after a week's adjournment with the Prime Minister, John Key, on the back foot, forced to defend his government's redeployment of SAS troops to Afghanistan in response to questions like this one from opposition leader Phil Goff.
What advice did he personally receive from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade before recommitting SAS troops to Afghanistan?
The Honourable Prime
Mr.
Minister.
Speaker. Mr Speaker, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade provided advice along with a number of other departments in the preparation of material for ministers making the decision on whether or not to redeploy the SAS to Afghanistan. I was one of those ministers.
That said, Mr Key then admitted that he hadn't received any advice from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on the SAS, as revealed on television by the Ministry's new Chief Executive, John Allen.
No, Mr Allen was quite correct. No specific view was ever provided to me by MFAT on whether or not to redeploy the SAS. That decision was actually left to ministers.
Mr Goff then asked the Prime Minister what advice he did get.
Is the Prime Minister telling us that he made the decision to deploy SAS troops to Afghanistan without any information as to whether what was happening in Afghanistan today was relevant to international terrorism, and as to whether there was a growing alienation by Afghan people against the presence of international troops?
The Honourable Prime Minister.
No, Mr Speaker. What I said earlier was that there was a range of advice provided to me.
Asked why he'd sent the SAS back to Afghanistan, Mr Key's response was interrupted by interjections from across the chamber.
Firstly, we are responding to... I think it's a bit like Afghanistan in the Labour Party caucus at the moment, but anyway...
Then when he tried to quote what Mr Goff had said about sending troops to Afghanistan when he was Minister of Defence, there were calls for the Prime Minister to put a date on the quote.
Let me remind Mr Goff, because it may be useful, for what he said when the SAS was deployed under his leadership. I'm sorry, my little chipmunks, I don't know, but I'll get the date and come back to you. But anyway...
Mr Key, whose other responsibilities include ministerial allowances, also faced questions from the Greens co-leader, Viteria Toure.
Can he confirm that under his proposed new government, his new rules, government ministers will be given a lump sum of up to $37,500 a year to pay for accommodation in Wellington, and will ministers be able to pocket any of the public money they do not spend?
The Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, in respect to the first part of the question, yes, but the members should note that the payment is expected to cover all costs associated with ministerial accommodation, such as rent, power and other expenses. And in relation to the second part of her question, the member should note the advice I received from ministerial services is that the average value of the current provision for ministerial accommodation is $48,295 per annum. So the scenario she proposes is most unlikely, as the new rates do not, in most cases, cover the full costs.
Matera Tude.
Can the Minister guarantee to the House and to the public that none of his ministers will pocket the extra money provided in the lump sum payment that they do not use in their accommodation?
The Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, no more so than I can guarantee that that member, who's bulk funded for $14,700 for other costs, doesn't pocket some of that.
Question time was followed by the government putting the House under urgency to deal with several bills in a list presented by the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
Mr Speaker, I move that urgency be accorded the introduction and passing of the Crown Retail Deposit Guarantee Scheme Bill, the second reading and remaining stages of the Resource Management Simplifying and Streamlining Amendment Bill, the introduction and first reading of the Biosecurity Amendment Bill, and the second reading of the Student Loan Scheme Repayment Bonus Amendment Bill.
Mr Brownlee indicated that this wouldn't be the last time he'd be putting the House under urgency this year.
It's not widely known that the House sits for only 17 hours a week. When you take out, sir, the question time, the general debate, and quite often the overrun of question time, or special debates such as were requested today, we get down to a situation where between now and Christmas, on the scheduled hours available to the House, scheduled sitting days available to the House, we have some just 115 odd hours available for the passing of legislation. That will, sir, mean that from time to time the government does need to seek extended hours, and that's exactly what is being required here.
Mr Brownlee's urgency motion was won by the government by 69 votes to 53. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from New Zealand On Air.